Don't forget, I told you that on September 24th, all the Christians are going to be apologizing for their terrible prognostication. They missed it. Must have been off by one star. Virgo must have been in a bad mood and left the room. Leo ate or something. I don't know, but they're going to make an excuse. But in fact, it's just they're not a part of it. But something is going to happen. Something is going to happen. And I'll be getting into more details on that. This is Martin Zender and ending the week on a fizzle here. Haha. But you know what? It has nothing to do with bang or fizzle. It has to do with information. And so right now I am going to straighten my camera and then I am going to go back to Ernest Martin. I gave you the link yesterday looking at askelm.com/prophecy/. Well, I gave you the link, so I'm not going to go into the whole line. A chronological overview. Dr. Martin says, look at the first chapters of Genesis with the creation of Adam in Genesis 5. Adam lived so many years, then had a son, Seth. From Seth comes forth all the future generations of the line of Adam. Then see how long Seth lived before he bore a son, and then his son, and his son, and so forth, down the time to Noah. Down to the time of Noah. In fact, you can go beyond the time of Noah and the flood through to the time beyond the time of Abraham, down to the time of Jacob and to the time of Joseph, adding up the number of years. Add them up yourself, says Dr. Martin. Do it yourself. Don't count on me. Quit putting pressure on me. Just, you can verify what I'm saying here. It's simple, says Dr. Martin. Go right to the last year of Joseph's life. He lived to 110 years. Of age. What you find is that from the first year of Adam down until the 99th year of Abraham's life, it comes to a period of 2,107 years. We are told that at the time of the Exodus, that from Abraham's 99th year to the first year of the Exodus, there is 430 years. That was Paul in Galatians 3:17. This is just absolutely stated in Exodus 12:40, and it is referred to by the Apostle Paul in Galatians 3:17, so there could be no doubt there is an exact 430-year period. Dr. Martin, as I said, if you just want to add up the number of years of the patriarchs' lives, as far as you can go would be to the time of Joseph. Like I said, this is terrible writing, but God bless it. God bless it. It's not about elegance. Telling myself that, yes, you can go the time of Joseph and there it stops. You know what? I love it. It's this simple. With this 430-year period from the 99th year of Abraham's life down to the first year of the Exodus, God bridges a gap which stops with Joseph. From there, if you want to go further, you can go down to the fourth year of Solomon, almost 500 years later. In 1 Kings 6:1, it says that from the first year of the Exodus of Israel, what other Exodus will we be talking about? Sorry, I'm going to quit being critical here. What's the matter with me? Why am I so mean? Down to the fourth year of Solomon, when he commenced to build the temple in Jerusalem, there's an exact period of 480 years that elapsed. With those figures, we can get to an exact chronological scheme of things. From a biblical point of view, from Adam's first year down to the fourth year of Solomon, this is only an overview. Only an overview. Now, I want to go down to, I just want to just fast forward here to the Sabbath principle. And then when I'm done with this, I'm going to go back to Bader for a little bit. And then, No, I'm not. I'm going to go back to the star constellation, Virgo and Leo and the 12 stars and the sun and the moon. If a Sabbatism is to be remaining for the people of God, which is a millennium of 1,000 years, all Sabbaths, this is really interesting, all Sabbaths must be preceded by six equal periods of time. Because again, Adam set the pattern in Genesis. If it is a Sabbath day, then it must be preceded by six actual days. Sabbath is the seventh day. I like this. If it is a Sabbath week, like Pentecost, then it must be preceded by six weekly periods. If it is a Sabbath month, like we have with the month of Tishri, the seventh month, it must be preceded by 6 equal months. If it is a Sabbath year, then it must be preceded by 6 equal years before the Sabbath year can occur. If this 1,000-year period, as Paul says, is a Sabbath period of 1,000 years, it must be preceded by an equal number of 6 periods of equal time, meaning 6,000 years. In other words, when you put together the years from the first Adam up through the second Adam, the last Adam, and through to when the kingdom of God would come on the earth, which would be a Sabbath period of rest, the whole period of 7,000 years is given in the Bible. It is there for everyone to see. And yet, why are so few people pointing it out? Number one, this is me. Number one, back to me here. Nobody cares about God, about what really God really has to say. Nobody cares about the hardcore information, number one. Number two, the people who do care about God care only about belonging to the popular religion of the day. And so they are going to look at surface things, because as soon as you get deep, you begin hurting feelings, and that's politically incorrect. And the main thing is to be politically incorrect and to not make waves. And so these people today have buried, completely buried, those verses where Jesus says, I came to bring a sword, not peace. They just don't know what to do with that, so they throw it out. Just like they don't know what to do with 1 Timothy 4:10, God's the savior of all humanity. So they throw it out. They don't know what to do with God locks up altogether in stubbornness, that he should be mercy, that he should have mercy on all, Romans 11:32. So they throw it out. They throw all these out that they don't get. And so it's got to be curious to them why they're so damn popular. And so why don't they see this 6,000 years to 1,000 years? Because it takes a little bit of analysis. They're more interested in the constellation because, look, they all have an escapist mentality in that they don't really want to know God. They just want to get out of here. They want to know God only as much as he can do something for them. These people believe so that they can go to heaven. You have to understand this. Most people in the population, in the popular club, the majority of the population is in the most popular religion on the planet, Christianity. They're there for what's in it for them. It's the Joel Osteen mentality, even if it's not as blatant as Osteen. They want to get something. They present to you themselves salvation only in that it's an escape from hell. Choose where you will spend eternity. It's all about where you're going to spend eternity. Nobody really talks about the character of God. Who is God? It's like we would follow God to the ends of the earth. If God went to Hades himself, we would follow him there. Oh, no. No, they're still looking for a political savior, except the political landscape stops being the amalgamation of 50 states or the global community, whatever. I know what that is. It's not time for a global community. The politics they're interested in are personal politics, their personal life, their personal comfort. This is why you see the disciples, you know, they're interested in following Christ. And so Jesus said, are you able to follow me? It's like, well, who wouldn't be able to follow you when we can wear jewelry around our necks and we can be part of the most popular club on the earth? Oh, it wasn't always that way. Back in that day, in order to follow him, you would risk being having your head cut off by a sword, you would risk being crucified upside down, you would risk having large rocks thrown at you until you die. That's what, quote, Christianity was back in the day. And so these people will flee. They will flee. They will flee like roaches, like rats, like ants, like aardvarks, like buzzards. They will flee when the kitchen gets hot, because they're not in it for a hot kitchen. You understand? They're not in it for a hot kitchen. They're in it to change the country. They're in it for politics. They're in it for personal gain. They're in it to escape hell. As long as they can escape hell, that's what they want. So they're not going to see this 6,000-year thing. All they know is that this constellation, this arrangement of planets and stars, it's like cotton candy at the county fair. Oh, we can get out of here and see Jesus, and he'll put us up in our penthouse suite. They don't want to know the heart of God. How do I know this? Because they're content with the Torturmeister crazy uncle god in the attic with the long beard and the sour disposition. They love eternal torment. That's why I don't think they don't want to know this 6,000 year plan. And so, you see, if I were to tell you that the snatching away were September 23rd, let's say, and I'm not telling you that, but if I were to do that, and if it didn't happen, what, we'd all be like, what, Eeyore? And the Winnie the Pooh, it's like, oh, we thought that would be the snatching away. I guess it's not. Oh, let's go join some other religion. We'd be disappointed, but frick, people, we're disappointed every day, right? We have reasons to leave God every day because he makes things difficult for us. I'm reminded constantly that he does this for a reason. He disciplines those he loves, but still, we're not in it to escape primarily, no. We're not in it primarily to satiate our souls because, excuse me, not too much of that going on really in the big picture. So it's him, capital H. It's God. It's the heart of God. We're not in it for the sex. We're not in a relationship with God in Christ for the sex. We're in it for the relationship. We're in it to know another being intimately, to know our Creator. There may be a few thrills, but they're getting fewer and farther between, speaking for myself. I've quoted for you John Cougar Mellencamp, whatever the heck his name is. Life goes on long after the thrill of living is gone. This life, it's played out for me, you know? Now it's just a slog, and who knows? If the snatching away is not on September 23rd or in the next 2.5 minutes, we might... I was going to say something that would maybe upset you. That we may be in for a four-year slog until 2021, the beginning of the tribulation. But I say no. I'm still going to say 2.5 minutes from now. Remember, I upgraded. If you missed that show, go back. Earlier this week, I upgraded from 5 minutes from now to 2.5 minutes from now because I, Martin Zender, have become an imitator of God. And I'm shortening the time. Because if I didn't, none of you would be saved. Not even me. I wouldn't be saved either. I wouldn't be saved. We're savior fodder. Who wants to be thought of savior fodder? I do. That's fine. You know, look, I'm just trying to finish this race. But back to the six, and I finish it strong. But it's not looking I'm gonna finish it strong. I'd love to. That's my goal for myself. That's what I want to do. I want to look good crossing the finish line with my arms out like this, but it probably ain't going to be that way. But that's all right. What am I looking for? A photo op at the finish line? Is that what I'm looking for? Apparently I'm looking for a photo op. Apparently I'm looking to have all the books I want done finished. Apparently I'm looking to have a nice, neat finish on this show. Apparently I'm looking to start another series and have all these things that I did at the finish line. Is that what I'm looking for? Is Christ coming to save those who have accomplished much? Or is he coming to save those who are surviving to the presence of the Lord? Having said that, we're competing together, you and I, and those who teach, we're competing together in the evangel. I understand that aspect of it. And there's competition there. I got that from the word competing together. I'm a clever boy that way. So I am a competitive person too. I don't like to lose shit. I just don't like to lose. If I'm playing a game, I will play to win. I will not let you win. You kidding me? What, you think I'm crazy? So I play to win. I want to win first prize. Yeah, sure. But I need to be careful that this is not an exercise of a photo finish and wanting to. It's a very fine line, isn't it? It's a very fine line. I'm just being honest with you here. Anyway, so the reason Christians don't care about this 6,000, 1,000-year thing is because It's a deeper issue. It's an issue where some don't even realize that there's a sabbatical year awaiting the people of God because they've given up on Israel. They think they're Israel, and they're very confused. They don't distinguish Paul's gospel from Peter's gospel because that takes another look, one look beneath the surface. I should go back to Ernest Martin and finish up how I started here. I had to get off on that because I felt like a Vesuvius here, ready to blow. So I had to come out of this. I don't like the writing either, but it's tough for me to read this just because the writing is so poor. But I shouldn't even say this because this man did some incredible studies. It's fantastic. And I really appreciate, like, did you see the charts, the timelines? Unbelievable that there are people who really know that much about numbers and care that much about the structure of things. I'm structurally challenged. I'm lucky to be able to pull into a parking place. You know, when you have those two left turn lanes, you have one right next to another one. I have a hard time figuring out how to stay in my lane. I really have to concentrate like crazy because I'm spatially challenged where I don't know how things fit one next to another one. It's like I could look at a storage unit, say, and I could predict how much stuff would go in there, and I guarantee to you I'd be so wrong. I'd be like thinking there could be five times as much stuff as would actually fit in there. So I'm the last guy to guess how many jelly beans are in the jar. I'd be off by 1,000. I'd be so off. Like I say, I'm lucky to pull into a parking place. I pull into a parking place, and I think I'm pulled up all the way. I go out, and I look, and I got like 8 feet of space in front of me. I go, what the heck? What was I looking at? If anybody needs one of those backing cameras, I do. So I appreciate Ernest Martin being able to put those charts out. And I'm ashamed of myself, really, that I'm that upset by wandering text, like loose writing. Why am I like that? I apologize to you for that. So I'm going to go back here and continue. Because I have a few minutes left. Because what difference does it make, honestly? It says here there was a 6,000-year plan of God for man to do what he needed to do on this earth, followed by a 1,000-year millennium when Christ Jesus would be here and the kingdom of God would be on earth. In other words, there was a 7,000-year plan of God. That's what we're in. We're in a 7,000-year plan. It's perfect. That is most interesting because even Jewish traditions in the first, this is true, even Jewish traditions in the first century accepted this and said that the 7,000-year plan of God was first spoken of by Elijah the prophet. I don't know about that. This is a tradition, so I don't put any stock in traditions. Forget it. This is a tradition that you will not find in the Old Testament. Then forget it, Dr. Martin. But some of these traditions were valid. But which ones? Why even say that if you're not going to tell us which ones were valid? So throw that out. The number of years to Messiah the Prince was exactly 4,000 years. Yes, that is verifiable by adding numbers up. If that Messiah was Jesus Christ, and that is exactly who it was, then if Jesus came on the scene exactly at 4,000 years for the full 6,000 years to take place, followed by 1,000-year millennium, you have got 2,000 more years after this event. Okay. I should delete this entire video that I've just done because it's terrible. So if you see this, it means that I've decided to display my weakness and to purposely make myself not look good. And if you're watching this video, it's evidence that of the state I'm in of like, and it might be a good thing because then you will see my humanity flowing out of me for what it's worth, and it might comfort you in some way, because some people think that I think most of you are over this by now, but some people have told me that they think like I'm this guy, since I know so much about the Bible, I'm at perfect peace all the time, and I have a great life, I'm single, I'm carefree. I live in South Florida. I have a palm tree, or two, or three, or four, or five in my front yard. The ocean is right over there, or over there, somewhere. Yeah, well, I'm telling you, you would think, I know, you would think, but none of it really matters. None of it makes me happy. I read Solomon. Yeah, I read it. Did you read the book? I think it's Ecclesiastes. Number one, there's nothing new under the sun. Okay, yeah. Number two, all the advantages you can muster in this world won't make you happy. That's a big secret. Shh, not many people know about it. Number three. Sometimes the happiest life is when you're under all kinds of constrictions. Yes. Like when you have a wife and children and a job where you have to punch a clock and your car breaks down. Sometimes, strange to say, when you look back, you might even be happier in that situation than you are in the so-called Solomon situation. Now that's a little weird. That's a little weird. Not saying I want to be crucified on a cross. No. But I was thinking about Peter this morning getting crucified upside down. They say that getting crucified upside down, you actually die quicker. I don't think Peter was thinking that. I don't think it was a ploy. Like, if I tell them I'm not worthy to be crucified in the manner of my Lord, and if I say, why don't you just crucify me upside down? I'll die quicker. Great strategy. It wasn't a strategy. I don't even know why I thought of this. Because I think about stuff like this all the time. All I do is think about stuff like this. It's crazy. Crazy. It's like I don't get out of my head or something, you know? It's like I'm too much in my head. But if I went out, say, and got a job at, like, Applebee's or some seating at a restaurant or some cleaning office, it would be like this, in a way, it would be a giant relief to me, honestly, it would. But then I know for a fact that I would not do this work. Not do it. Even if I just worked part-time, I would be done with this. D-O-N. Because I know myself. I know myself better than you know me. You know me, but I know myself better than you know me. And it has been mentally, psychologically, emotionally. You just can't look at the surface thing because you don't know what it's like to be me. I don't know what it's like to be you. You don't know what it's like to be me. Well, Santa's got his shades on and his palm trees in the front yard and the Cubans come and knock him down. Quiet, please. What has been brutal is doing this job alone for 24 years. Alone. Even Paul had traveling companions. This is not to say that there aren't people. There's you. I need you. I love you. I want you. Please don't leave me. I have friends. I have Waylon. I have like Waylon and Alan. I meet with them at conferences. But that's rare. I mean, like, yeah, sure. You can't live in that situation. I'm talking about when everybody goes home, the down and dirty, the daily thoughts and the work, it's all alone. The Lone Ranger without Tonto. Batman without Robin. Robin Hood without that other guy. Yeah. So, now that I've made a mess of this entire program, I can either junk it and get my shit together and try again. I've done it before. Not very often. Usually I'll hit the on button and like whatever happens, happens. I'll go. Once in a while, I'll be so... What am I talking about? What am I doing? I'll have to stop it and start again. Very rarely. I say in 717 shows, that's probably only happened 15 times. Actually. So, if you're watching this show, it should give you some indication of my state. If you're not watching it, I'm not sure what I want to tell you to do if you're not watching this. What should I say to you? What should I say to you if you're not watching this show? I'll think about that and get back with you.